If you want to take your Bibles and turn to the book of Colossians, if you don't want to do it anyway, I read this last night as I was here for a while and just thought I always look for a little thing to read or write down, and this seemed pretty good. This came from the book Awakening by Stowell Weems. You know, if you're not a reader, try doing it. It's very enjoyable. Very enjoyable. It'll actually help you live longer because they're coming up with the idea that some Alzheimer's comes from watching too much TV. And so I'm just trying to save your life, okay? When we are on fire for God, our lives and our attitudes have an authentic quality of joy and peace. I'll repeat that. When we are on fire for God, our lives and our attitudes have an authentic quality of joy and peace that most people are drawn to. When you understand this and have a passion for God and a zeal to be his witness, everything will change when you go to work. Say work. If you don't go to work, there'll still change. You will know God has sent you there for a higher purpose, for a higher calling, when you understand God has sent you. To be a witness first, your whole perspective changes. I can tell you from experience that there is no more exciting thing than to live with the understanding that every person you meet during the day, every chance encounter, every trip to Starbucks — I finally found out why people go to Starbucks. Kirk is looking for an encounter with someone — is actually a potential opportunity to change the source of someone's lives and possibly the world. When you're on fire for God, you can't help but reach out to others. You are willing to give, care, serve, and invite people to Christ and to church because Christ is living out his life in you. You know, how many of you are excited about living? How many would rather be alive than dead? Okay, thought I'd check. I want to talk to you about, in a roundabout way, that something that God has been talking to me about. I put a little thing on Facebook, and on Facebook you can never do, or I never can say quite what I really want to say or what's going on in me, but it's really a time to stand. Even if you have to stand alone. The Bible says in the last days many are going to depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons. We're seeing that happen. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 4, there's coming a time when people will not endure sound doctrine, but will heap for themselves teachers, and they'll have itching ears. They just want to hear something that makes them feel good. We're there. And so if the church of Jesus Christ — I'm not talking about everyone who says they're a Christian, but I'm talking about people who are living for the Lord, experiencing him, being full of the fire of the Holy Spirit, walking this life out — we got to be careful we don't slip back and lose our testimony, and afraid to tell our testimony, and afraid to share that we're Christian. It's not a time to be intimidated by political correctness. It's not a time to be intimidated by what some people may say. It's not a time to be intimidated by words that are thrown out. It's time to speak truth and live the truth.
Yes.
Now you may say that might be costly. Take a look at your wrists. Got any nail prints in there? The Bible says this, and you read it, you get shocked. The Bible says we have not yet suffered unto death. Isn't that interesting? Somebody says something bad about us or to us, and we just go underneath the chair. I'm never going to talk about Jesus anymore. They just don't understand. Let me tell you something. They never will if you don't tell them. They're living in deception, and they're living under a guise, and they're living under a cloud, and they don't get it. So go with me to Colossians if you're not there. I want to show you something. Verse number 3. And we're going to be preaching from 5 and 6. We give thanks to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of your love for all the saints, because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, of which you've heard before in the world, the word of truth, the gospel, which has come to you as it was, has also in all the world, and is bringing forth fruit, and is also among you since the day you heard and knew the grace of God in truth. There's 2 points we're going to talk about. The gospel, first of all, is truth. Every man-made gospel is heresy. I love the way you're shouting. I want to tell you, God's gospel is truth. When man has tried to change it or perfect it or alter it or come up with an idea, there's a man whose son died and he didn't believe in hell, so he started a new religion because he knew his son was in hell, if there was one. The emphasis, not the main emphasis, the only emphasis of the gospel truly is Jesus Christ. And we need to understand this. The main point of the gospel is that we would understand Jesus Christ, accept him as our personal Savior, live for him, and lead others to him. A lot of stuff are on the peripheral that have become the main event. The main event of the gospel is Jesus Christ. And the gospel message is Jesus Christ crucified and resurrected and alive today, sitting at the right hand of the Father. That's the gospel. How do I know that? Turn with me to 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15. And Paul writes this. I'm just going to read 3 or 4 verses. Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, and in which you stand, by which also you were saved, if you hold fast the word which I preached to you, unless you be believed in vain. For I delivered to you, first of all, that which I received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he arose again the third day according to the Scriptures. The gospel is actually the good news. But for good news to be good news, we need to accept and experience it. We need to understand Christ didn't just come to planet Earth, live for 33 and a half years, die and rise just to be doing something. There is something you and I must understand. And we need to understand this in the place as we're standing, so we're not soon shaken or troubled in mind or in spirit about what everybody else is saying. And that simply is this: Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me. Either Jesus spoke truth or he's a liar. Don't ever believe for a second that Jesus was just a good man, because if he wasn't who he said he was a chronic liar. Look at, like a cow looking at a new gate, aren't we? But it's fact. It's fact. The gospel message is wrapped up in this: Jesus Christ, our Savior, Jesus Christ, our healer, Jesus Christ, the one who baptizes in the Holy Spirit. John said, he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. And Jesus Christ, our coming King. It's not complicated, but it's so spiritual and so alive and so against anti-man's selfishness and anti-man's, I'm my own king, I'm my own captain, I'll live my own life, I'll do my own thing, and they will. But they'll also realize that they're not going to be in a place of bliss when they die. And so the gospel is truth. The word truth is very interesting. As I looked it up in the Greek this week, it means unveiled reality. Christ has been unveiled so we can see the reality of who he is. And we live and we walk and we talk. And actually, we come to a place of breathing Jesus Christ. Don't get caught up so much on the peripheral that we miss the reality. Do you ever give your child a present? They got so wrapped up in the paper and the box that they missed the gift? It's interesting. You'll go out and spend, it used to be $50, now it's $150. Used to spend $50 on 20, maybe when I was there, it was about $250, I think. But mom and dad would bring some home and they were so excited about it, we opened it up and we played with the box. Some people do that with Jesus. They just don't come to the reality of who he is. They don't understand that we're not playing games and God's not playing a game. And God is not so interested in getting to heaven that he's going to change his word or what he said or how he's going to do it. It's fact. It's truth. The life we live, we now live by the faith of the Son of God who loved us and gave himself for us in Colossians 2:10. And no matter how we think we want to do it and how we're going to do it, nothing changes in the eyes of God. If it's truth for God, it's truth for us. We can't alter it. We can't change it. We can't say, well, they were a good person. Somebody came to me and said, well, you know, they were so good. And I said, who told you that? What do you mean? I said, Jesus even said that he wasn't good, even though he was talking in a different aspect. Goodness doesn't count with God until you're a Christian. Hello?
Yes.
Did anybody say amen?
Amen.
Are we alive?
Amen.
Goodness doesn't count. Because who judges the good? Do we take a vote on it? Is Pastor good? How many believe that? I lost. Not even my wife voted. I guess I'm the only one eating on the way to hills. But we come to that concept, and I want to tell you something That concept and that principle has infiltrated the church, where churches no longer give altar calls. Church no longer ask people if they want to be saved. Churches no longer come to a place that's about Jesus. It's about our programs, and it's about what we're doing, and it's about how we're living, and it's about that you leave church feeling good. I hope if you're not Christian, you leave church miserable. And you have to think about, well, that's not very loving. That is as loving as you can get. It's as loving as you can get. Don't be conned. Can I use that? Don't be conned. Stand for Christ. Amen. Don't allow, and Paul writes this in Colossians, he said, don't let anybody's philosophy, vain philosophies, change what you believe. The Bible says God is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but I don't want anyone to go to hell. But yet we have to be truthful with them. We have to speak the truth. The Bible says speak the truth in love. I wasn't going here, but I guess I did. Unveiled reality, truth. Look at John chapter 14. I mean chapter 1, verse 14. John chapter 1 and verse number 14. And the Word became flesh, that's Jesus, and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of what?
Grace
and truth. Can I tell you something? Just look at me for a moment. When the glory of God comes in here, the way we want him to, and he's coming, I'm not concerned about that. You're going to find more grace than you've ever experienced, and you're going to find more truth than you ever wanted to know at times. When the glory of God comes in here, there's no more covering things up, living a secret life, going through the things that we don't want to face. It will be revealed. And now if Kirk doesn't see anybody in church, it's my fault. Next week. Because God in his glory, and that glory descends, that glory of Jesus, things are uncovered. Things are revealed. Things are opened up. And we come to a place of realizing. And it's very humbling. Because most of the time when that happens, you're doing carpet time with your face embedded in the carpet, just saying, God, don't kill me. And we need that. You know why? Because once you've had that encounter, you'll know truth. You won't just hope that it's truth. You won't just guess that it's truth. You know when the glory of God comes that what the Holy Spirit has been teaching you and talking to you about and working in your life is fact. Amen? It's just fact. I don't want to go to church and hear somebody's philosophies. I don't care what they believe unless they believe on Jesus. Now here's a second point of the gospel. Your experience with Christ is your testimony. How many of you have ever experienced Jesus? If you've experienced Jesus, stand. Okay, for the rest of the service now, I want everybody to testify, because if you experienced Jesus, you got a testimony. How many are going to sit down? I'm joking. Okay, here. You may be seated. Tony, get scared? You have a reason to. But it's true. Look at me. Every one of you that experienced Jesus, have experienced the gospel, have experienced the word of truth, you have a testimony that people need to hear, because there are people out there who are in the same condition you were before you came to Christ. And your testimony will be a blessing. Your testimony will be a blessing. Not only did he talk about the truth of the gospel, but he talked about the truth of grace. There's a lot of teaching, and there's a lot of preaching right now on grace. And so what I've been doing is just trying to get a handle on it. I do want to say this, and you can do with this what you want. The grace of God never came to anyone so they could continue to live like the devil. Hello?
Amen.
You're going to hear, and I'm not digging into anybody's message, you're going to hear that once you've come to Christ, you can live any way you want, you can do anything you want, and it doesn't matter because God's grace is there. God's grace is there, but that's not the purpose of it. How many of you, when you got married on that night you got married, told your husband or your wife, we don't care what you do, you can go out and sleep with anybody you want, we don't care? Didn't do that, did you? And God doesn't do that either. God doesn't say to us, now that you're a Christian, I just want you to live your life as you want. God says, now that you've accepted me, I want you to be led by my Holy Spirit. I want you to walk in that. Sin is destroying. Sin is killing. Sin is wiping out people's testimonies who once lived for God, and it's destroying them. Let me ask you a question. And I enjoy Tim Tebow. But what would the media do with his life if all of a sudden he gets picked up for drunken driving? I appreciate what he's doing, but that would throw a monkey wrench into everything, just like it would for us and the people watching us. God's grace is sufficient for everything. God's mercy is there. God loves you radically. And God wants to bless us amazingly. But God wants us to have our lives line up with the Word of God and be led by the Spirit. Let's look at grace. God's grace is a vehicle that allows you to experience His love and acceptance. I'm going to repeat that. I wrote that this morning as I was just sitting there thinking about grace, because it's just hard to put into a proper way where people understand it. God's grace is the vehicle that allows you to experience His love and acceptance. We're saved by grace through faith, and that's a demonstration of God's love for you. We stand victorious through God's grace, which empowers us. Because of His grace, we have the power of His presence to be conformed to the image of Christ. Because of His grace, we have the power of His presence to be conformed to the image of Christ. He's given us His grace to fulfill the ministry that He's called us to do. Look at me. You are perfectly equipped to do everything God wants you to do. Can you believe that? And it's a continual process, because you know something? Every day of your life, God wants you stepping deeper and deeper and deeper into ministry. And ministry is being a servant. It's not standing up here and preaching. Into the ministry that He's called you to do. He equips you every day for what you have to do because of His grace. As we've said before, it's His empowering presence that enables you to do what He's called you to do and to be what He's called you to be. I believe that. His grace overcomes all obstacles, destroys all the works, schemes, and devices of Satan. You can go through testings and temptations because God's given you the grace to go through them. I sat amazed today, this morning, as I came in and started doing some more writing. God will test you, but He'll give you the grace to go through it. Isn't that amazing? God will bring you in places where you will have to trust Him, but He's already empowered you with the grace to go through that testing, that it doesn't just destroy you and you throw up your hands and say, I'm a failure. I want you to understand something. There's no failures in the kingdom of God, just quitters. Hello? Love the way you're shouting. Isn't that right, Carol? No failures. Because God never puts that label on you. We put it on ourselves. And if you don't believe it, reread in Luke 15 the story of the prodigal son. The dad didn't chase the son. He waited for him and welcomed him when he came back. Amen? Look at that picture. I got a feeling that the father was looking down that road almost daily, waiting for the son to come home so he could tell him, I told you so. No, didn't work that way. So he could tell the son, I love you. I love you. Grace, God's grace, will allow you to enter heaven. But until then, it'll allow you to bring heaven to earth. God's grace will allow you to enter heaven. But until that happens, it allows us to bring heaven to earth. Look out, they're anointed. I want us to understand this, and I want to understand it. God has spiritually designed you genetically. In other words, you have the DNA of a believer. That DNA of a believer is the Holy Spirit living within us, working in us, ministering through us, presenting the truth of the gospel wherever we go. You never, say never, have to take a back seat to anyone when it comes to Jesus. You don't have to hide. You don't have to be afraid. You don't have to worry how they're going to respond. That's not our part. We allow the conclusion of what happens at the testimony to affect what we're going to say. And I've done it. I've done it. I told you one day I picked up a hitchhiker and God said witness to him. And I said, well, I don't want to offend him. And I'm thinking, he's in my car. What's he going to do, jump out? That's when it was safe to pick up hitchhikers. I don't do it much anymore unless I know them. And if I know them, then I still drive 2 miles and see if they're... You are designed by God to let your light shine. Listen, it's not something that we need to fight to do. Just allow it to happen. Amen. There's a light within you. There's a glorious light of the gospel. It's not something I have to work up. It's not even something I have to pray for. When I get on my knees to pray, it's not to earn something from God or do something. It's to come into, look at his greatness and his glory, his majesty. And as we begin to understand, as I was reading yesterday for a while, we come into agreement with God's word. We align our lives with what he's designed us to, and we go out and we do it. There's an agreement with the word. There's an alignment that God wants you to, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. And then there's a thing that we do that just starts ministry. That's our assignment. I'll think of that word. I knew it was there somewhere. And we begin to walk it out. It's for you. I'm done. Goodbye. No. I just want to leave you with this. When you go to work, or when you go to Walmart, or Target, or where's the place you shop? Pardon? Kohl's. Or what's the other one over there where I get my aftershave? Gordman's. I do use it every once in a while. I'll shave. I'm getting old, but I still shave every once in a while. As you go there, you never know who you're going to meet. Do you realize on the job you could have the next Billy Graham working beside you? Do you realize as you're shopping in line, somebody behind you? And, you know, I got a big mouth. I'm aware of that. I talk to everybody. My wife is crawling underneath the counter. Vacation is just another simple time to preach to somebody different. I look at it that way. Fact is, I asked God this morning, God, I don't really want to break down, but lead me to somebody that needs Jesus. It's like withdrawal when you don't lead someone to Christ for a while. You never know who you're going to impact at that service. I heard, I haven't verified it, I just read a while back that Charles Spurgeon went into a church one night. The man was preaching, there was a storm, he was the only one there. Charles Spurgeon was a great evangelist, and he accepted Christ. The rest is history. Don't be afraid of the gospel. Don't be afraid to stand up, and don't be intimidated. Like Kevin said last Sunday, you're too legitimate to quit. Or Ken did, I'm sorry. Too legitimate to quit. Too legit to quit. God has called you. There are no doubts in my mind that we go through some tough times. But times, tough times, we get closer to God. Some people say, well, you'll back away from, no, we don't run from God, we run to him. You have the gospel, which is truth. You have Jesus living within you. You have the Holy Spirit, which is leading you. You have the grace of God. And it's amazing how many of our mistakes the grace of God can just take and use to bring about God's desire. Amen?